Good morning. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Thessalonians 1. 1 Thessalonians 1. Paul, Silas, and Timothy to the Church of Thessalonians in God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. Remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that He has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power and the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us, of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering and joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all believers in Macedonia, Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell you you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. Let's pray. God, we just thank you so much for today. We thank you for a chance just to come hear your word, to worship you, Lord, and to start our day in prayer. Holy Spirit, we just ask that you come into this place to just guide us and lead us. Lord, that you will just speak through me, Lord, and that we will just be able to humble ourselves to hear what you have to say to us, both corporately and individually this morning. Lord, we love you. In your name we pray. Amen. And so, I knew I had to speak today, and so I was actually this week just, I quickly asked God. It wasn't anything like a long, intense prayer session. I was like, God, what should I speak on? Because actually, confession, the last few Fridays or several Fridays, I've been using a lot of my schoolwork to preach out of, and it was great, but I kind of ran out of material. And so I started thinking, now what do I do? And it's actually very quick. I really heard from God go through the book of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians. And I have a confession. I was like, what's in the book of 1 Thessalonians? I couldn't remember, right? And I was like, I can remember other books. I can remember like, oh, criticize, you know, like correcting this or all these different things. But 1 Thessalonians, I could not remember what was in the book. And so when I opened to 1 Thessalonians 1 and I read it, I was like, oh, this is really nice, right? It wasn't a critique of bad behavior. It wasn't something that was showing all the negatives, but it was this moment of giving thanks to God for these people. And so here's just a little bit of a background on this book, in case you're like me and you've forgotten. This book is most likely Paul's first letter that he wrote. From various different scholars, most people have concluded, I mean, there's very little doubt that Paul wrote this book. I mean, it's almost 100% consensus, if not 100%, that he wrote this letter. But they do believe it's his first letter that he wrote. The background to this church you can actually find in Acts 17 in the first few verses. And in Acts 17, you get a picture of Paul and Silas. They went to Thessalonia. They weren't actually there that long. And about after a month of telling the good news about Jesus, a large number of both Jewish and Greek people gave their lives over to him. It was this massive transformation in this group of now new believers. However, this started trouble and they got run out of town. People didn't want them to speak. And so here you have this body of believers, new in faith, left alone without any sort of leaders. And part of this came about because now that Paul was preaching about Jesus, that Jesus was Lord, that went against the idea of Caesar, right? And Caesar was this Roman emperor, and he was the top. No one is supposed to be above Caesar. He is the only emperor. And now you have this group of believers saying Jesus is their king. And so this caused controversy. It brings about persecution. And so if you're new in your belief and you face persecution, I mean, I don't know because I've never actually had to go through it, but it would seem to be that you would turn from God, turn from what you know. But yet here now, Paul gets this report of this church, not knowing really what's happened, and he finds out that they're going strong. They're going strong. They're following God's ways, and he's just hearing these amazing things from this church that they only had a leader for a brief time. They only had someone speaking truth into their life for about a month. That doesn't mean they didn't get other information about God and that they weren't being fed in other ways. But here you have this abrupt leaving that leaves them alone, and who knows what could have happened. In the entirety of the book, it's broken down into two parts. Chapters 1 and 3 is about celebrating their faithfulness, and chapters 4 and 5 is a challenge for them to continue to grow. And so when you look at chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, we see this thanksgiving prayer. We see Paul praising them and just saying all of these amazing and wonderful things about them. I mean, how many of us like to have people say nice things about us? Might make us uncomfortable if we're not used to it, right? Have you ever felt uncomfortable when someone starts telling you all these positive things about yourself? And I hope you've experienced people saying positive things to you about you. But it can be awkward if you're not used to it. I think I've shared this before, but when I was a teacher, we used to do these, it was a reverse love language gift exchange. And I actually got it from another teacher. And the idea is you actually gift your love language to somebody, not their love language, which always seemed a little weird. So it's like, well, if you're trying to show that person love, shouldn't you be loving them in their way? But I think it was the point was to show each other how you also need love. And so each kid got assigned somebody, and you know, kids took each other out to Starbucks for those who like quality time. Some kids brought in chocolate for those who like gifts. I mean, they were only like eighth graders. It's not like they could do a lot. And I'm not part of this, okay? So I stay out of it. But one of the girls, she surprised me with a little cake, with this little piece of paper that was appreciating me. And she had all the kids in the class give one word to describe me. And some of them are really funny. Like, I have a good fashion. I thought that was hilarious because that's not something I would say I have. They said I was fun, tough, which is true, and all sorts of different things. And I remember thinking it was such a sweet gesture, right? It was unexpected. And I'm thinking about how we treat people, how we look at them. Are we always looking at the negative? You know, are the words that we're saying about people a self-fulfilling prophecy in many ways? You know, we were talking about this in house church this week, and someone brought up, if you say something about someone, right, like they're a coward, right? It may be a true statement. And especially when you think about children, if you say that over them, doesn't that become who they are? Maybe not to other people, but to you, right? And when we can think about how to give praise for people, even the ones we don't want to, how much better our perspective is. Right? I mean, but this group of people, they deserve this, like, well, no one really deserves that much praise. But their actions caused this thanksgiving. Don't you want to have a life where when people think about you, they're thankful that you are in their life? They're thankful for what you've done, for who you've become? And not that you've done anything to get this thanks or this affirmation, but just your genuine life that you live brings about thankfulness in other people. I'm not saying that I have that kind of life, but I think it's something to strive for. And it's not to gain accolades, but it's because you're living to glorify God. In this next portion, it's verses 6 through 10, you actually see a bit about their conversion, right? And Paul nails it. He's like, your conversion is clearly from the Holy Spirit. How fast, how quick, how strong you went. He's like, you are definitely chosen by God, and this is because of the power and the conviction the Holy Spirit brings. You know, we often think, and honestly, maybe it's because I grew up with a mom whose perspective on short-term missions, she wouldn't let us go on short-term missions if we weren't serving in our community. She flat out said, there's no point for you to go on a mission trip if you're not doing something in our community. And that was very strong for her. She's like, there was one trip to Mexico that our youth group went on, and I really wanted to go. It had nothing to do with that. I wanted to go serve people in Mexico. I wanted to go to Mexico, right? I was in ninth grade, I think, ninth or tenth grade. And she's like, no, have you been serving your community at home? Right? There's that conviction. There was something that was going, that my mom had about genuine placement of your faith at home. Right? And here you see this power, this conviction, you know, but my point to this is, even though I struggle with short-term missions on some levels, you see the power of it. You see the power of going. Paul was there for 1 month. 1 month only. And you wonder, well, what good can I be to people when I only visit them for 5 days? Well, it's not about you. It's about what the Holy Spirit can do through you. And when we rely on the Holy Spirit, so much amazing things can happen when we go out and do short-term missions. And so, I mean, that's one of, this really convicted me this morning and last night and the day before as I was meditating and rereading this, is that my jadedness for short-term missions came back to the front. And God's like, but look what I can do in even a short period of time. Another thing that really struck me was being part of being discipled was actually learning to live like Paul and Silas. I went to this conference years ago in Chicago with some friends. We met up in Chicago, we went to this conference. I just started coming to SP, and this conference was crazy charismatic. I was out of my depth. I had no idea what was going on around me. And I remember being at a session, and this lady's like, stand on our shoulders. And it bothered me. And I didn't know why it bothered me. And actually, now reading this, it shouldn't have bothered me. Her point was, like, you have all these spiritual parents that went before you. Look to them. Right? And I was being really jaded because I was like, oh, I should only look at Jesus. I should only look at Jesus. But this scripture here this morning, and it brought me back to that day. And maybe I've never really fully dealt with that day till around, well, last night when I was putting this together and meditating, was that we are meant to be people that people look to. We are meant to be people that people imitate. And not because of ourselves, but because of Jesus that lives in us and the transformation that he has taken place in our life. As believers, we can be people that others imitate in a negative way as well. Right? Think about how much the world shares. I mean, there's certain things that the world is just bashing Christians for our beliefs. But there are some things that are very justifiable for people to be looking like, well, why should I become a Christian? You're no better than us. You treat the poor worse than we treat the poor. You know, I mean, and this is a blanket statement they're saying about all Christians, which is not true. Not all Christians fit into the statement that they're making, right? But here Paul's like, you looked and lived like me. You followed my ways. Right, and this isn't Paul being like, look at me, how great I am. But it's this memory, this reminding them, be this way so others can imitate you as well. Follow Jesus in a way that when people see you, when they follow your actions, really what they're doing is they're following the way of Christ. You know, and so as we are building up the church, right, for this generation, the next generation, and however many more generations till Jesus comes back, will we be remembered as people that the church could look at and follow in their ways that built up a healthier church? Or are we going to be people that they look at and go, all they see is our flaws? And we have flaws, don't get me wrong. Paul had flaws, we all have flaws. I'm not saying try to be perfect. I mean, do try, but we won't be, you know? But how do we then live this life? You know, and it's such an encouragement because we can be examples. We can be light. Another thing that it reminded me of is how you can be young in faith and powerful. I think sometimes those who come from Christian homes, I mean, maybe I'm speaking about myself, we tend not to be as powerful in our faith because it's just norm. This is just a generalization. But sometimes it can be our norm. It's just like, well, I was sharing with someone the other day that this week that growing up, I just assumed everyone was Christian, right? Like I assumed all my friends were Christian. It's just what everyone in Grand Rapids was and is. To be honest, I still go back to Grand Rapids and I would assume everyone I meet is Christian. It's probably not true. And maybe it's not their action. Anyways, I won't judge anyone. But that was just my perspective. And so when you live in that mindset, it's so easy just to do what everyone else is doing because, well, who do I have to be a light for? You know, in Hong Kong, we can't say that. Most people aren't Christian. Most people you're going to encounter aren't believers. And we shouldn't look down on that new believer that they can't be powerful like, well, you got to do it my way because I've been a Christian much longer, right? It's one of the biggest issues sometimes missionaries have is they go into a community and they're looking, do my way, instead of pausing, looking back and be like, well, how is this newer believer doing it? And so there's so much power in a newer believer. Many newer believers I've met, some of my former students, the day they became believers, they started preaching the gospel, telling everyone, come to Christ, know Jesus. And the one kid I'm thinking of, he was this quirky kid, a little bit out there. He loved buses, and you could tell you every route of a bus, how long it would take you from point A to point B at which time of the day, right? If it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he knew which buses you had to take to get to Disneyland to get you. It was a whole assignment I had. The kids had to like map things out, and in 2 minutes, that assignment went out the door because he was like, well, if it's this time, then it takes you this much time, and you should take this bus and this bus and this bus, and then it was over. But yet, the moment he became a believer, he just started preaching the gospel and the kid listened. It was just like, you're listening to him? You make fun of him all the time. I won't tell you his like what they called him because it was really not very nice, but it was cute at the same time. And he just started preaching. And he just tell people what God did for him and how he was saved. And looking back, like new believers, we can be encouraged by them in their faith. And finally, Paul is like, I understand the cost of this conversion. In the last verses, we see Paul looking and he's like, I understand what you've gone through. You've turned from all your past, right? He says, you turned away from your idols to serve the living and true God. They didn't hold on to these things from the past. They didn't hold on to what they had, but they clung to who they had now. They're willing to give up their past, possibly isolated. They were going through persecution. And even in persecution, they weren't willing to give up on the living God. They wanted to walk in his ways, and Paul had praise to say about them. You know, and I think in the last couple of, well, not that lot, weeks, just the last week and a half or so, I think a lot of Christians in Hong Kong have been thinking, what could come to this city? What might happen? Right? And would we be willing to stand in persecution if it comes to us here, this place that we've been free to worship God? Are we going to be willing to stand the test of time? And honestly, where the persecution happens, the church grows. We can clearly see the church grows in the midst of persecution. And so this morning, as Sam comes up to lead worship, let's just meditate on God. And I really want us to meditate, are we living a life worthy of imitating? Are we living a life, and obviously not imitating Mary, but imitating Jesus who's in Mary? Does that make sense? How are we imitating those who've gone before us? Are we imitating bad spiritual behaviors? Are there things that aren't biblical that we're following because our past leaders were leading that way? But mostly, let's just really reflect, are we living a life worthy of imitating? Is Jesus who people see when they look at us? You know, earlier this week, I messaged my co-leaders from House Church about somebody I've been frustrated with, and they're not in the room, so it's cool. Hopefully they'll listen. I won't mention what I was frustrated about or their name. And I quickly messaged them on WhatsApp, and I said, can you pray for me? I want to speak to this person about this topic. I sent it, and within 5 seconds, I felt this conviction, delete it. Delete the message. I think they may have still saw it. And God said to me, are you doing the same thing this person is doing? Take care of yourself first before you go and you speak into this person's life. You know, and so and everything I could have said is very justifiable, right? And actually one of the persons did read it and she messaged me later. She's like, hey, I kind of saw what you said. It's blah, 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 blah. And so it wasn't anything bad that I said, whatever. It was appropriate, but it was this conviction from God. And it's just take care of yourself first. Get yourself right before you become someone for people to imitate, you know? And so I think that's what it means, you know, when we talk about take that, the log out of your eye, right? Go to your heart. Start working on yourselves. Start making yourselves be worthy to be someone that people look up to. And so I just want us to really just, I'm just going to pray over that this morning. God, I just pray, Lord, that we can become people of you. Lord, that we imitate you so much that when people see us, yes, they may be imitating us, but ultimately they're imitating you, Jesus, because what they see in us is they see you. Lord, what they see in us is your person and your love and your goodness and your truth. And so, God, I pray, Lord, this morning that you will just open our eyes to the areas of our weaknesses, Lord, so that we can just bring them before you to be strengthened by you, Lord, and that we can repent of those things so that we can be whole in you and that we can be light in this city, in this world, and to the people around us and those that we encounter. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's just take a moment to give thanks to God for all that he's done. Turn to our community prayer. Let's lift up those who are battling cancer, going through chemo, radiation therapy, and surgery. Let's just pray for God's healing, a hand in their lives, and comfort for them and their family and friends as they walk alongside them. Let's lift up those who are suffering from various illnesses but also need salvation. Let's just really pray that they have an encounter with God where their hearts and their minds will be open to him and that they can just see who he is. Pray for those who are suffering from other various infirmities. Let's just pray just for perseverance. And let's just pray for God's healing hand. Pray for those who are searching and looking for jobs. Let's just pray for God's provision during this time. Let's just pray for open doors. Let's just pray, yeah, that they can just continually seek God in this process. turn to our mission focus. Let's pray for Japan. Let's just pray for the hearts of the people to be open to God. Let's pray for P. Sophia as she's on her furlough, that she will get rest and just be fed by God and just enjoy this time with family and friends. Let's also lift up Cambodia. Let's pray for Grace. Let's pray for Oasis House, P. Jenny O. Let's just pray for the people there that they will just receive God and that God will just continue to download to both Grace and P. Jenny what His will for them is in that country. Pray for the Mission Council. Let's pray for P. Sam as he leads this team. Let's just pray for unity. Let's just pray for, just wisdom and discernment for this team. Actually, I just think we should also just pray for each individual member on the team, that God will just really continue to grow in them, their heart for mission. So let's just pray for John, Jungmin, Tim, Deborah, Ashley, and Sally as they just lead this ministry. Lift up our local outreach teams, Agape, Homies, SP Lights, Freedom, Bridge, and Recreation. Let's just really pray that God will just work through us in this city and that we can create great partnerships and friendships amongst the people that we are serving. Lift up our SP Fam Fostering and Adoption Ministry, led by Caden. So let's continue to lift up those who are taking in these little ones into their homes, these families. Let's also just pray for all the little the babies who are looking for homes. Let's just pray that God will bring them to the right forever home or bring them back to their families, if that's God's will. Lift up our Friday evening gatherings, SPU, SP Youth, and IP. Let's just pray for the presence of God. Let's just pray for the students in SPU and SP Youth that they can just draw closer to God. Let's pray for their leaders, P. Andrew and Donald, P. Nate. Let's just pray, Lord, as they lead, that they will just really continue to just guide our students to a deeper relationship with you. And let's just pray for IP with Matt, that That they will just really download from God what his heart is for us, and that they can just continue to pray. Lift up our house church she's meeting tonight. Elements, go, McCain, McDaddy, McRobinson. Let's just pray for their leaders. Let's pray for unity. Let's just pray for a great time of fellowship and just diving deep into God's word. Let's just pray that they can iron sharpens iron. Finally, let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for peace in this city. Let's just pray for our leaders. Let's just pray, you know, really that we love our leaders, that we show them the love that God has called us to show them. And let's just really seek God's will in this situation. So let's just really pray for our city. Stand to our feet and do our declaration. Let's read it together. Father God, I declare before you and your angels and before Satan and his demons that your word is true. It is always true, and I embrace it and I believe it by faith, and I declare that what is written will come to pass in spite of my circumstances. And now I do this. I come against you, Satan, and your demons, and I tell you in the name of Jesus, the word of God is true. It's a rock, and I stand on the rock. I'm shaking on the rock, but the rock is not shaking under me. Listen to me, Satan. I come against the stronghold, and I pull it down, and I pull it down in the name of Jesus. I resist you today and tomorrow and for the next 7 days until you flee, because it is written, it is written, it is written. You will flee, you must flee. I will defeat you, it is written, in the name of Jesus, amen. So God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for just your power. We thank you for your love, and we thank you for the example you set before us. Lord, we pray, God, that you will just give us eyes to see what you're doing around us today, Lord, that we can just join you, God. And we just pray, Lord, that your spirit will just guide our spirit, Lord, that your spirit will just empower us, and that your spirit will be just so evident in our lives. So, Lord, we thank you and we love you. In your name we pray. Amen. Have a great rest of your prayer time and a great day.